In today's first reading, Judah, the southern kingdom, is about to be attacked by Assyria. And King Ahaz is thinking about asking Egypt for help against them. Israel, the northern kingdom, has already been overrun, and their people are in exile. In this passage, Isaiah is begging Ahaz to trust in the Lord, not in Egypt. Isaiah tells the king to ask for a sign to indicate that God is with him. When the king refuses, Isaiah gives him an impossible sign. The Lord himself will give this sign. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall name him Emmanuel. God loved us so much that he became one of us in the flesh, in the person of Jesus Christ, born of a virgin. A humble man who led a humble life among us for 30 years before he revealed himself as the Son of God and suffered the consequences on Good Friday. Today's gospel tells us how Jesus' birth came about. Mary is found to be pregnant, and Joseph, a righteous and merciful man, has decided to divorce her quietly rather than cause more scandal. While Joseph was contemplating quietly divorcing Mary, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, assuring him that what was happening was all part of God's plan. Matthew explains to his primarily Jewish readers that all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God with us. I recently read a commentary that God works his plans not in the extraordinariness of miracles or in the mystery of magic, but in the ordinariness of mercy and the mystery of compassion. As we think about the readings for today, we ought to bear in mind that both the Annunciation and Joseph's dreams were private affairs. Only Mary saw the angel Gabriel, and only Joseph had the dream. We know the rest of the story, but when these things were occurring, only Mary and Joseph knew what had happened. What was common knowledge was the scandal of a pregnancy outside of marriage and the foolishness of Joseph taking Mary into his home when a truly righteous and observant Jew would never have done such a thing. And there must have been a great deal of gossip in the community about that state of affairs. Have you noticed that Joseph never speaks in the Gospels? His actions and willingness to live by his convictions, whether understood by others or not, speak volumes about our Lord's foster father. Both Mary and Joseph, in their own way, said yes to God and entered into that mystery of mercy and compassion where God's will is known and made manifest. Yes, there were some signs of Jesus' birth that we will hear about in coming days. A shining star, a vision of angels, wise men from the east. But for the vast majority of the world, everything was ordinary. But in that ordinary, the most extraordinary was occurring. God was coming to be with us. The movie Hacksaw Ridge is a powerful and true story about a man holding firm to his convictions in the face of strong opposition. Desmond Doss was a conscientious objector in World War II. Guided by his Christian faith and a personal vow that he had made to God, Doss would not pick up a gun to fight, but he did want to help his country in the war effort as a medic. The first half of the film is about the opposition that he faced in the army himself. He was viewed as a coward, and his superiors and even fellow soldiers tried to force him out. The second half of the film is about how Doss proved his conviction in the face of battle. When his unit was forced to retreat due to an overwhelming onslaught of Japanese soldiers, Doss remained behind under the cover of darkness. There is a scene in the movie when the unit is retreating and Corporal Doss is at the top of the ridge. He cries out, "God, I cannot hear you. What do you want me to do?" There is a silence. And for a moment, as the medic sits in the violent ordinariness of war, and then he asks for the first of 75 times, "Dear God, let me get just one man." Corporal Doss then runs back into the battle. Corporal Desmond Thomas Doss is the first and only conscientious objector awarded the Medal of Honor for his heroic bravery, well above and beyond the call of duty. His actions were not mysterious or otherworldly. They were the mystery of mercy and compassion being lived in the moment. We ought not to belittle the ordinary or the choice to live out the convictions of our faith in the ordinary. People like Mary or Joseph, or a host of other witnesses, like first responders who put themselves in danger to help strangers, or those who pray for mercy outside of abortion centers, or those who take time every day to pray for others' needs. People who show how God is found and his will is made known in the ordinary, whether understood by those around them or not. Speaking of ordinary, for many this final week of Advent is akin to madness. We have to finish up the present wrapping, making sure each child has the same number of presents so none feel neglected, and all the nieces and nephews get a present. Then we have to send cards to all the people on our Christmas list, and for sure to those who send us cards. I can remember many a Christmas that when we added all the presents from grandparents and aunts and uncles, the Christmas tree started to get in the way of the stacked presents. Of late, it has dawned on me that something might have been amiss with that particular picture. Somehow, over the years, Christmas has morphed into a giant love fest. No doubt aided by the constant advertising bombardment, we've become convinced that the way to show love is to give presents, especially at Christmas. We are encouraged to believe that the greater the number of presents, or the more expensive the presents that we give or receive, the more we are loved or love. An Army priest that I really admired, Father Tony Imberry, got up one Sunday during Advent in 1993 and talked about the difference between disappointing our children and depriving them. "We deprive our children," he said, "when we deny them food or clothing or shelter or love. We disappoint our children when we discipline them or when we deny them their every whim, the latest fad in toys or clothes or electronics. Depriving," he said, "is never good for our children. But disappointment is a learning experience. No one goes through life without being disappointed once in a while. Don't be afraid of disappointing your children," he said, "especially if not disappointing them means overspending. Going into debt just to keep from disappointing your kids is a very bad idea." At Christmas, we are called to celebrate Jesus' birthday, the birth of God among us. Being as Christmas is Jesus' birthday, it ought to be about him. In the midst of all the hoopla, we can make a sincere effort to keep Jesus front and center in our holidays festivities. We might even consider what my daughter's family does. They bake a birthday cake and sing happy birthday to Jesus on Christmas Day as a reminder of what's important. Remember, God works in the ordinary. One last note. Bishop Robert Barron reminds us that on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, we have a great opportunity to evangelize by welcoming those we don't see here very often. He points out that this is an opportunity to reach out to those in our community who are wavering in their faith and/or who don't attend Mass on a regular basis. We do this by going out of our way, as Jesus would, to welcome those who join us at Christmas and invite them back again next week. And when the seating gets tight, slide a little closer to those next to you to make room in the pew for more. God works in the ordinary, and having the courtesy to make room for guests is an ordinary way to show his love. This Christmas, let's try harder to focus on the real reason for the season, to give thanks to the God who made us, loves us, and sustains us with the greatest gift that we will ever receive, the gift of the Holy Eucharist, the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, whose birth we celebrate at Christ Mass. With all the clergy and staff here at Sacred Heart, I wish you a joy-filled Christmas season and a blessed new year. We look forward to seeing you all here at Christ Mass next weekend.